Welcome, welcome to Who's Talking. Labor Day weekend, Labor Day tonight. Quite a weekend of sports activity in Charlottesville and beyond. Obviously,
mostly beyond.
Yeah.
If you're a Who fan, now I mean, I guess if you're a Spider fan, you thought it was pretty good.
All right, that's Jim. Let's just put it like this: tough game out of the gate for Bronco Mendenhall, his staff, and the players. And let's face it, that type of loss should not happen. There's no reason whatsoever for a team in a Power Five conference to drop a game, particularly to a school that Virginia has beaten for 70 years.
Well,
70 years.
The tough thing about it was not only did they lose, Richmond won going away or convincing them.
They played well.
They played very well, and Richmond is a very, very good football team, but everything you said prior to that is true. Virginia's got more resources. They have the facilities. They have a lot of advantages. Unfortunately, they didn't have an advantage on the field on Saturday.
I think there's a lot of causes for that. We're going to go into that throughout the show. First thing, let's recognize who our guests are on the show tonight. First off, we're going to have Brad Barnes, former UVA offensive tackle, joining us. Brad played from 1999 to 2000. There was another year in there where I believe he was injured, and I want to say that it was his back. Brad was a terrific lineman, terrific guy too, and he is a
big guy and a very bright guy.
Very bright guy.
Very bright guy.
Gordy Rawls, Dr. Rawls, will be joining us once again. He's been with us before.
Another bright guy, by the way.
Ortho Virginia sponsor, and he will help us with the injury report.
Now you're supposed to say Hobo's a very bright guy.
maybe a
we
got
to have a little sense of humor.
Maybe
we
a
did,
good
we did
comedian.
Get our
maybe
butts
a,
kicked by a
maybe a good
a one
comedian.
Double A. What we're still trying to figure out whether it's FBS, FCS, or whatever, but.
Yes, you will be considering that thought for a long time. And then later in the show, John Copper, former UVA linebacker who led the team in tackles for 3 years, will join us, and John will have some astute analysis of what's got to be improved in that new 3-4 defense to make Virginia more competitive. Because I could tell from the beginning of the game, Virginia's defenders were thinking too much. There was way too much reading. There was virtually no anticipation.
Too much thinking and not enough moving. Just reaction.
How about some aggression? Let's attack somebody. When Virginia blitzed, there were some good moments, and there should have been two interceptions that didn't happen. There might have been two more INTs if anybody would turn around and turn their head towards the football. And there was a strip sack fumble that could have changed the game. However, nobody could put their hands on the football, namely number 13, I believe is Chris Peace. I don't see how a ball can hit a man in the face mask, the chest, and the hands and be lying on top of the ball but not have the ball. That somehow Chris Peace, the defensive end, outside linebacker, could not get the ball. Anyhow, we could rant and rave, but I don't think that would do any good. On the plus side, I thought the new quarterback threw some nice balls. He had some decent stats. Kurt Benkert clearly has a good arm, and I'm going to knock off the LeClaire Ryan play of the game, and that's, you know, that's with tongue in cheek, I guess. But with 11 minutes or so to go in the second quarter, he rolled out to his right and threw about a 40-yard strike to Donnie Dowling in the corner of the end zone, and it was a better pass than a catch, but nevertheless, Dowling did keep his feet in, did catch the ball, and he did score. And so for a little while there in
I'm thinking, did that make it 13-7 or 16-7?
That made it 7-13.
And, so at that stage, you thought maybe you're back in the game.
Maybe you could rally. But, you know, two fumbles in the first quarter, one by Richmond area product Connor Wingo Reeves, who fumbled the second kickoff in the game and the first kickoff by the Spiders to the Wahoos. It was like a little pooch kick towards the sideline of the Richmond sideline. And for whatever reason, Connor unfortunately tried a swim move with the football, and defensive players knocked it out of his hands. Richmond got the ball, and they went in and got a field goal. The defense did deny the touchdown, but
And then the big fumble after that was the Mizell fumble.
The Mizell fumble.
Really on Virginia's first offensive possession. That was the first time they actually had the ball.
They drove the length of the field. They
got down to the 5-yard line.
Correct. And I would put the fault as much on the coaches calling the game as I would the player. Taquan Mizell is a small back. He's really a flanker. And why they would run him between the tackles, the line is made up of three new bodies and two players that have a couple of years of experience, and they just didn't provide any holes.
Well, at that point, it certainly looked like Virginia was poised to punch it in and take a 7-6 lead, and would have changed the whole nature of the game.
But surely.
Certainly, to give Richmond credit, they took over at their own 5-yard line and proceeded to drive 95 yards for a touchdown.
But so, to be fair, that was the third possession that Richmond had the ball.
Yeah, so the defense had been out on the field, but
forever.
Still.
They were warmed up.
I think most defensive coaches would not be fond of 95-yard drives by the other team.
I know, but I'm just saying. You know, Virginia had one drive in the game to that point, and Richmond
had the ball three times.
But, and you know, you can't do that to any defense. You know, this defense is a young defense. There's lots of green kids out there. They've never played, so. I'm gonna cut them some slack, and we're looking for Brad Barnes to call in here. So.
Let's hope it was a learning experience.
Yeah, I think it was a learning experience for everybody. Let's see here. Brad is going to be calling in hopefully any second now. Anyhow, some other general thoughts today. Bronco Mendenhall, the Virginia head coach, stated that defensively, and he was very encouraged by Jordan Mack, number 37. Mack is an outside linebacker and a brand new player who heretofore had not played for Virginia, and he singled him out as being performing very well. So I think that's the only player he really complimented.
Well, he did say some nice things about the quarterback.
Yes,
in both post game and during the press conference today. But we got Brad on the line, so let's go to him.
All right, Brad, welcome to Who's Talking Tonight.
Hey, Frank and Jim, how are y'all tonight?
We're steadily recovering. There's still hope.
There is still hope. That's right. Happy Labor Day to both of y'all, by the way.
You too, Brad.
Thank you.
So, Brad, you texted me during the game. I'm up in the press box trying not to throw clipboard notes, you know, the lineup sheet. Poor Hobo probably got tired of me hitting him in the elbow going, did you see that mistake? Did you see that?
I thought Frank was amazingly composed, given the circumstances.
Yeah. No F-bombs or anything crazy like that. But how about you? What was your take watching the game?
Well, yeah, you and I were definitely texting back and forth. I think we were a little surprised at what was happening. And I think when you start out a home opener, especially when you play a team that's in a different conference, your expectations and hopes are high. So I know the boys are a little tough loss, taking one on the chin there from Richmond. But I tell you, while we didn't play well, we've got some room to grow for sure. I think there's 3 points of optimism. I think we're learning the new system, and I think we saw some of that out there today, especially from an offensive standpoint. I think we do have a young squad, and you certainly mentioned it with the lack of depth on the offensive line. And I think the other thing, too, is Ben Kurt was remarkably accurate. And I think in that new system with the offensive, with the short pass, where we hope to rack up some runs after the catch, I think those are the 3 points of optimism that I see for the team going forward. And the good news about it is this game doesn't count for our ACC record, and we still got a long row to hoe here in the first part of the season.
Brad, speak a little bit about the offensive line. That's an area of expertise for you. How did you think they did?
You know, I think for – especially, like I said, I think we lost 3 or 4 guys.
Yes.
Before the season, I think a couple guys had to retire early because of injuries, and that's unfortunate for them because they were some pretty solid players. And I think the offensive line, for learning that new system, getting out there, being young, they did okay. I think where you saw the gaps, and Frank, you mentioned it earlier, you've got Mizell, you got Smoke, who should be getting hit in the outside, should be hitting it hard, should be floating a little bit like Tinkerbell and then exploding around the outside. we were trying to run them up the middle in a very young offensive line. Now, we should be bigger and stronger than the Richmond guys, but we didn't get any yardage up the middle, which is tough. And then the second thing I saw, we gave up a few sacks. I think there was two crucial sacks in the game, but they were also getting some pressure on the edges, and that shouldn't happen against the University of Richmond. So I think if that new offensive scheme gets into play, if we could do some more shifting with that young offensive line on more of a zone pass coverage instead of trying to lock up one-on-one and then the center reading to the mic or to whatever linebacker they think is going to blitz, I think we'll be in much better shape until that offensive line gets a little more tenure under their belts.
Well, you know, it's interesting about the O-line, and to be fair to these guys, Michael Mooney started left tackle, and he was subbed by Jack English at times, and Jake Filer, as well as Jack McDonald. All three of those players were injured at one time or another last year, so it's not like they were on the field. So, you know, for them, this is like being reborn, relearning game speed, understanding how they are going to work with Jackson Mateo, the center, who's a veteran center, and right tackle Eric Smith. It appeared to me that the tackles and center did a pretty good job. I thought the guards were struggling. They could not get any push. And, you know, they basically, Virginia got like 35 yards of rushing in the game, which is pathetic, to say the least. That'll be an area I'm certain that the coaches focus on. Brad, as a former player, what else do you think Virginia has got to focus on this week to get ready to play a team like Oregon out there?
Well, I go back to that, the pass scheme, because I think with this offense, if it works right, we want to throw the ball, which I think is great for Virginia football fans. So that, with that being said, we've got to make sure we protect the quarterback, because the two things actually that I like about Ben Curtis is, one, he hangs in there and doesn't look to run the ball. He's looking to throw the ball downfield, and he's got a big arm, and he can be accurate if we give him time.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, we've just got to make sure that we give him as much time as possible so that he can throw the ball, because if we can start throwing the ball, the defense will be on their heels a little bit, and we'll be able to run the ball a little bit more. And hopefully we'll get smoke outside so we can run downhill a little bit. And then once we start getting the outside, the inside should open up a little bit too. But I think you're right, Frank. Some of that guard play on the inside, especially in some of the inside zone running plays, like that's got to stout. Be a little bit more stout.
Well, they've got to help some. They got to get some avenues for these guys to get a few yards. You know, Olamide Zaccheaus, they changed his number like so many other players, and it makes it very hard to follow, to say the least. He came into the game wearing number 33. Olamide looked like a ball of fire in the second half. He might have helped a lot in the first half. Now, he was held out due to breaking a team rule, and Coach Mendenhall in the press conference today said that Olamide is back in his good graces, and actually turned himself in for whatever the violation was. So he, you know, he feels better about that situation. But, you know, this type of offensive scheme, they're trying to find seams and pockets. And the quarterback is making his read, and he's going through his progressions lightning fast. I think Ben Kurt could really move the ball around the field, and if they just will protect him, like you talked about, there's no reason this team can't put up 30 points. And it's clear that Oregon has not learned how to play defense yet this season the way they know how to. I'm trying to find their score. I believe
it was like 53-28, yes, or something like that.
But they gave up 28 points. But at one point in the game, it was a very tight score before halftime. Brad, final thought here before we go to break. What are the coaches doing besides playing with the offensive line? What else have they got to do to get the confidence of the team back up to travel across the country?
Well, I think from a confidence standpoint, I think what they're saying today is, look, guys, for the majority of you out there, I think even Ben Kurt, I think this is his first college football start.
Mm-hmm.
So for the majority of the players out there, this was the first time that they're seeing real live action. And it's a lot faster than practice, and it's not the guys that you're using to banging heads with all August. And so the good news is, hopefully they'll work some of the kinks out. You've got an arsenal of film now to go and break down, find out which plays worked, show folks and give them the feedback where it broke down, and start to coach him up for next week against Oregon. And the great thing is, against Oregon, you're playing a national powerhouse. You're right, their defense is weak. So hopefully, with the new offensive scheme and throwing the ball and finding those seams, we can have a little bit of a shootout out there in Oregon.
Brad, well, their only hope is they've got to stay on the field. They've got to get first downs so that the defense can have time to figure out how to defend Oregon's quick-paced offense. If not, they're dead. Mm-hmm. But anyway, listen, Brad, we have enjoyed your visit, and we hope to bring you back later in the season. Tonight we're going quickly to break, and then we're going to have Dr. Gordy Rawls filling in the second segment. But we thank you as always, and we wish you and your family well.
All right, Jim and Frank, thank you guys so much for having me on, and I'll talk to you later on the season.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. Brad, all right, well, as Frank said, we're going to break. We'll have Dr. Rawls on when we come back. You're listening to Who's Talking. Stay tuned.